Thank you for the invitation first, and hope you enjoyed the symposium so far. It's very interesting. We'll talk about a little bit of different topic. It's related to the omic. We'll present some research about what we do with lipid in soil microbial community, soil fungal community. So let's go. So those of you that are working in microbial ecology are familiar with this approach to characterize microbes using fatty acid biomarker. But you may know also that fatty acids are not, in living organisms, they are not only alone, they could be linked to bigger molecules. In fact, they are mainly linked to bigger molecules. So there is roughly five different groups where you can find fatty acid inside a living organism. You can find it as a free fatty acid, of course. You can find link inside a glycerol lipid, like neutral lipid. You can find them, where's the mouse? Link inside glycerol phospholipid or phospholipid, we are more familiar with that. Sphingolipid also. You can find also fatty acid linked to sterol ester. And there is many other class of lipid you can find in any living organism. What's the method of studying intact lipid? You can say that. So first, let's do some mathematics. So let's say that you, in your PLFA mix, you have 10 different fatty acids. There is about 10 to 15 different class of phospholipid or polar lipid. And each polar lipid contains two fatty acids. So if you do the calculation, you can come up with more than 1,000 different type of lipid in one organism, one mixture, a complex mixture. So if you have different, let's say in your soil extract, you have more than 100 PLFA. So it makes up a huge number of potential biomarker. Second, very interesting advantage that's not well known is that there is a link between the lipid metabolism and other type of metabolism that make up the phospholipid. So many of the phospholipid are made with sugar. They're ad group, what we call the ad group, are made with sugar and amino acids. So if you study them like as only fatty acid in a PLFA fraction, you lose this information. If you study them as intact, you can link what you found as information in the phospholipid and the lipid metabolism to other type of metabolism. But, okay, intact lipid was already studied 50 years ago. It's not a new thing. People are not. But there were, what's new in that? There is two main things that's new, and I think it's probably the same thing with all the omics, is that instrumentation and software. Instrumentation improve a lot. In the 90s, they developed techniques that you can allow you to ionize a very larger molecule, lipid like that, protein. And the software to use the machine are more user-friendly than before. So you don't need to be high-skilled technician to know all the settings to do your mass spectrometry analysis. So these two major improvements accelerate the development in any omics. And metabolomic and lipidomic are not example of that. It's happened also in this area. And it's increased the throughput too. So you can process more samples, you can get more information in a shorter time. For example, probably people that, I don't know if you ever did any lipid analysis, but to characterize the intact lipid in one organism, one, let's say complex mixture would have taken you maybe 1 week of TLC fractionation and GC analysis, and now in 1 hour plus the processing, you can get a good idea of the thousand of lipid you can find in one organism in one complex mixture. So where lipidomics stand in all the omics, lipidomics and metabolomics, lipidomics is a sub-discipline of metabolomics, but for me it's the most interesting one, but we can discuss that. So lipidomics is kind of at the end of all the synthesis from the gene, transcript, and proteomic. But one thing you can use also metabolomic and lipidomic is that in many cases, you don't have any sequence You study an organism or a system, but you don't have any sequence data, you don't have any proteomic data. And these are expensive. But you can still say something about how protein and gene could be regulated if you look at the metabolite. Because many of the relationships between metabolites are kind of concerned from species to species. So one sugar is always transformed to sugar B. And so if you use these, you can always say something about what are the impact of environmental factor on the metabolism of an overall system. Lipidome of a soil is complex, more complex than a one cell, more complex than a multicellular organism. When you extract your lipid from a soil, it's a very big pool. It's a community of lipidomes. So, and also to add to the complexity that the lipids are not only from microbes, they can come from fauna, plant, non-living organic matter, and all of these are influenced by different factors, and then we analyze that. So we can summarize the methods that were used and are still used to analyze lipids with this slide. It depends on how deep you want to go in the analysis. You can use a more fingerprinting method when you just want a snapshot of what you have, or you can go deeper using mass spec with higher resolution. Then you have the chromatography aspect. You can use GC, LC, and capillary electrophoresis, and the detection too, depending on the level of the detail you want. You can use different detectors. Some of you are familiar with FID, UV, IR, Raman, NMR, and now more and more mass spec is kind of the standard detector used for any lipidomic or metabolomic work. NMR, unfortunately, is not as much used, but way, way more powerful than mass spec to elucidate any structure, but has problem with sensitivity and so on. So, and then the third part, so chromatography detection, the third part is that, okay, you have your molecule, you need to put this in the system to chromatography it or to detect it. So you use different strategies to make it more volatile or to desorb or ionize. So now the new technique to ionize bigger molecules are the APCI, APPI, electrospray, and MALDI that are commonly used in many labs to study lipid and other metabolites. So we have a small system where we just want to demonstrate how can these lipidomic techniques could be used to and could give us information about what's going on in the soil. And so we have a two-cropping, there's a small experiment, but it's not a small experiment, sorry. It's probably a larger experiment. And there is two-cropping system, a continuous corn and a soybean corn rotation. And the soil was sampled at two different growth stages. You can see that here, V and R3.
R3?
Yeah. R2? Yeah. Sorry, I'm not too much familiar with corn stage. And we use a set of three different techniques to analyze the soil lipid. So CID TOF, IPL means intact polar lipid. I think it's more inclusive than only using phospholipid because there is polar lipids that are not phospholipids, and we analyze that by using electrospray tandem mass spec, and we use also a series of precursor scans, try to pinpoint what are the intact lipids that contain specific marker for arbuscular microcyte fungi and saprophytic fungi. So the first technique is CID-TOF, mean collision-induced dissociation, time-of-flight mass spectrometry, talking fast, and was published in Journal of Lipid Research by one of my colleagues. You can read that, it's very interesting. It's applied to plants, but easily can apply to soil lipid extract. So, due to the time, I was working the data, but cannot finish that. Anyway, I will summarize the technique. It's very simple. So this technique was developed using a special instrument, an hybrid instrument that is built with quadrupole and time of flight, where you want to filter the mass that goes in your detector because you don't want to measure free fatty acid. You want to measure fatty acid that are linked to bigger molecules. So for doing that, you remove all the small mass and you fragment only the mass above, let's say, 500. And then what you get, what you detect is the fatty acyl that are linked to these intact lipids. So you get The advantage and disadvantage is that it's very fast. In 1 minute, you can get a snapshot of all your fatty acid in one extract. You don't need to hydrolyze because it's done directly inside the quadrupole. And also, you can identify new fatty acid that you cannot identify with the GC, because the GC, there is a limit in the volatility of your sample, of your fatty acid. If you're looking for bigger molecule, they won't fly well. The detector is not sensitive enough for bigger molecule, and so on. The problem with that technique, you lose the position of unsaturation, you lose the position of the hydroxy group, and any branch that you can have in your fatty acid. But this is the type of spectra you can get. And so you separate the fatty acid by their exact mass, and you identify them by their mass. The second approach is that it's an approach that's more and more used in marine organic geochemistry, but it was first started by Dr. White, David C. White. But, I mean, I never see any more follow-up after that. And so it's a technique that there's many ways to profile intact polar lipid in soil. I won't go into that. We can discuss that. It's very technical. But one way that we do it in our lab is that we use an electrospray and a mass spec. So for those who are not mass spec specialists or are not aware of that, and I understand, a tandem mass spec works like a searching engine. It's like you put, let's say you search for a word, but you don't know the word, but you know few letters of that. If you put that in your search engine, they will come up with all the words that contain what you're feeding it. The same with a tandem mass spec. If you know some specific fragment that you know that are present in your molecule, you can kind of scan for all the molecules that contain these fragments. So I will give you an example of that. And so there is, in our method, we can scan for 15 different classes of intact polar lipid that cover about 500 intact polar lipid that we identify. There is more than that. I'm telling you, there is more than that. So yeah, there is different family. Maybe you can read the slide, but there are some families that are more common to everything, more common to any organism. Some are more common to microbes, like PPME, like phosphatidylmethylethanolamine, PDME, DGTS, and so on. And these are the scan that we use. These are mass spec kind of information. So we use a different series of scans. So the samples infused in the mass spec, and at different time for certain duration, we are looking specifically for a specific class of polar lipid. This thing takes about 1 hour to do. So in 1 hour, you get 500 and more different intact polar lipids. So an example of what type of raw result you can get. This is the scan spectra from phosphatidyl inositol. So you see that all the series of inositol that you can get when you scan for a specific fragment for phosphatidyl inositol. So all the phosphatidyl inositol molecular species will have this specific fragment. If you scan for that, you will get all the family. Same with phosphatidyl monoethyl ethanolamine, and these are very abundant in soil. I think it's one of the species that you can find. I scanned many different soil, and this is one of the species that you can find in highest abundance. And they are typically microbial. So during the rest of the talk, I will use a nomenclature. It's kind of standard with people doing lipidomics, is that always the first letter are designated the head group of the intact polar lipid. And then you have the acyl carbon, the number of carbon in your fatty acid, and the number of unsaturation in the fatty acid. So these are the results from the comparison of this soybean corn and corn, continuous corn cropping system. So I just plot some of the more contrasting intact polar lipid. I guess you didn't want to see 500 bar graph. But it's appeared that many of the PNME and PDME and PE phospholipids that are more common to microbar are very high increase, more in one of the, I think it's the corn. And if you
plot also, sorry.
So before it was the comparison between the two system at R3, and then we compare the two system, the two different growth stage, and you can see that the species that you can find at R3, VE, the first stage of the corn, are probably the one that contribute more to the difference between the two cropping system. So there is another way also to look at that. You can look at the result, these type of result, lipidomic result, as abundance of this and this phospholipid and so on. But you can try to map that in a pathway. So I kind of simplified that. So we know that PE, it's the feeding, this is the substrate of an enzyme that transforms all the species into PNME. And then PNME is transformed in PDME. It's simple, it's an addition of a methyl to the head group of the PE. So just look at the one that I point out with the arrow, is that this molecular species was common in PE, PNME, and PNDE, but was not revealed by the previous analysis. When you look at the ratio between the PNME and the PE, you can see that you can enhance the effect that you're looking for, looking at these ratio, or looking at the reaction, the relationship between substrate and product. Third approach we're looking for said, okay, we want to go more specific and said, okay, this, could we identify antiquarylated that contain specific marker that we are interested in? We were interested mainly with fungal biomarker. So we did different experiments, we test that, to try to identify these antiquarylated. So some of them were not successful, we will repeat them, but for the ones that were successful, we did a positive neutral loss, kind of technical, sorry. But what we found is that 18.2, if you take 18.2 as a saprophytic fungal biomarker, if you scan for it, what you can find is that all the suite of neutral lipids that are anticlipid, but not polar lipid, but anticlipid if you find in your extract. So instead of having one marker, you can have a suite of other potential biomarker that can allow you to understand more what's happening. So if you, I don't think it's very clear, but if you look at the different, so I scan for the more general fatty acid 18O, and there is, if you look at the different peak, there is a shift in the peak. So the highest peak in the first scan are not the same as the lower panel. So these, to make a shorter story, these fatty acids are contained in bigger molecules that are different. So this is what I want to say. And if you look at the 16-1 as a kind of a pool of all the 16-1, including the Aberrascum microbial fungi, you can see that's the same. You have you can capture a pool of different neutral lipids that contain this fatty acid biomarker, and you can give you more potential new biomarker for your analysis. So unfortunately, it's kind of a challenge now in the lipidomic community is that could we get onset double bound position in an anticlipid? That's a challenge. I list different strategies, I can discuss them, but we are trying some of them. The idea would be to be able to, on the fly, identify antiquarylated and identify the fatty acid with enough precision that we can link all the knowledge that people acquire in microbial ecology since whatever, using fatty acid biomarker, and all these new anticlipid biomarker that we can analyze now with our mass spec. But, and there are some people that raise some problem, there's a lot of problem with, OK, okay, standardization and so on. And it would be a huge problem with any omics, what we do with all the data we have. So this is some thought. I give some thought to that. I said, okay, I think we need to systematize the acquisition of knowledge. So the difference maybe between proteomic or maybe genomic and proteomic and metabolomic is that metabolomic, you read a paper about review in metabolomic, you will find different 10, 15 different platforms, different way of doing things, different, and so on. That could be a very big mess. So I think we need some standard protocols to which we can compare what we are doing. And we need to organize also more the knowledge that we get. And that's a collaborative effort. It's not done by yourself, by one person. And we have to find ways also to compare the data we get. So we need a kind of some sort of database. And the database will help us to make sense of the data. And one of the problems with these intact lipids and any metabolite is that, and probably protein and gene, annotation. That's always a problem. The annotation is never perfect. It's never good, and it's even worse in metabolomics. So, and sooner or later, I think, and I got some hint about that, sooner or later, even for publishing, you will need to deposit your metabolomic data or lipidomic data in any sort of database so people can search it. And the plant-based metabolomic community start to work on that, put their effort together to do that. There is different initiatives that were done in metabolomic community to kind of standardize. There is a committee in the Metabolomic Society to establish standardize or what you need to report, the metadata that you need to report in your experiment. So there is a number that was published of Metabolomic Journal in 2007, and it's a going on community that committee that continues to develop the idea about that. I think Teragenome, you are more familiar with that. They also have a kind of a standard metadata that you need to report in any experiment, metagenomic experiment. And there is a different database that you can look at it that are nice. Lipidomic database from the LipidMaps. LipidMaps is a very big initiative from the NIH to sequence, not to sequence, to identify all the lipid in one type of cell in human. And it kind of drove the development of a lot of lipidomic technology. The human metabolome database, the Arabidopsis metabolomic database. You can see these different initiatives, these different databases contain different type of tool that could be used to play with your data, store your data, and give you kind of some strategy to standardize the data acquisition and the data repository. So, kind of summarize what we need in terms of the lipidomic database. We need, I think, for the annotation, we need a database that can store data from other systems. Okay, we need, like you were saying, that you need reference genomic data. You need the same for any metabolomic. You need to know what type of, this organism contains these type of lipids, these type of metabolites. So you will facilitate the annotation because soil is a complex mix. And you need to have some idea what you're looking for and what your molecules are coming from. So the three main part would be you store the spectra, you have this library where you can all the different lipids that we identify and characterize, and you have this atlas where you store data that are analyzed in different conditions, different systems. So we start to work with a group in France, and it was based on the initiative by a group, a network funded by the European Science Foundation, the MOLTER. It's a network dedicated to that group researchers that do research at molecular level on soil organic matter, and they are interested by database, and we are interested by database, and the In collaboration with a group in France, a pilot database was built from it, from this initiative. And this pilot database will store molecular level data from different platforms, not only mass spec, but also NIR, MIR, NMR, and so on. And it's at the pilot stage. We just need more funding to make it bigger and making it more complex and interactive. But this will store, like I said, samples. You can position your sample where you take them, and you can extract the information. You can make establish a mathematical relationship between your sample, metadata. Anyway, different way of displaying your data. Statistical analysis you can perform on your data that store. Okay, sorry, I was very fast. I speak fast, but anyway. does lipidomics compromise for greater understanding of soil microbial ecology? I would say yes. But you decide. We can discuss that. I would say yes because, I mean, we can ignore the diversity of lipids in a soil. You can't ignore that. You cannot ignore that. Is it ignore an English word or a French word as I translate it? Anyway, you can. The functional lipids in living organisms are important. And we are used to use fatty acids only like a kind of group or species marker. But functional lipids are very important. You can see data from Rachel that fatty acid metabolism was modified in one of their samples. So, and there is a potential of discovering new biomarkers that would be more specific. But we need to standardize the data. We need to make sure we get all the metadata. We have a database that allow us to do reliable annotation. And the techniques are improving. And like I said, you can get the detailed characterization of your lipid in a fly sometime. And lipidomics also by itself could allow you to understand more what all the gene and protein are regulate when you're facing different challenge. And people that inspire me. Thank you.